all today and to be back here at Calvary. Such a treat. As was said, I've just moved back to Keats Island and thoroughly enjoying just entering into this semi-retirement phase. Being the lead pastor at Olivet was indeed a privilege and so great to be there all these past 12 and a half years. It's been great. But I felt, you know, as we were coming, hopefully, coming out of this COVID time, that it was time really for the next chapter for the church and next chapter for me as well. As I was processing this, in one of my devotional books, I read this. This is a time in your life when you must learn to let go of loved ones, of possessions, of control. In order to let go of something that is precious to you, you need to rest in my presence where you are complete. Take time to bask in the light of my love. Then it went on to say, as you release more and more things into my care, remember that I never let go of your hand. Herein lies your security, which no one and no circumstance can take from you. When I read that, I thought, oh, what an appropriate word that I needed to hear. But also I thought, wow, for where many people find themselves these days. Life has brought a lot of stresses, challenges, and sorrow lately. We have had to let go of a lot of things. As a result of the pandemic, well, many of you probably were not able to see some of your loved ones. Plans and trips were canceled. We couldn't meet together like this for worship. There was a loss of physical connection. Maybe you lost a loved one during this time. Maybe you've suffered financial loss. It has been a tough year and a half. It's so nice to have things open up again, and how wonderful to be able to be together worshiping. But the news is still grim, and we don't know what is ahead. We're faced with this new Delta variant, and I heard on Friday there's now something called a Lambda variant. But it's not just COVID that causes concern in terms of what's going to happen, but you know, now that the Taliban has seized power in Afghanistan, what's that going to mean? As was prayed, you know, there's all the fires that are raging out of control. And here at Calvary, now you've heard the news that Pastor Jack is leaving. He has served and he has loved you well. And that presents another loss. With these and with other stresses that probably come to your mind this morning, I want to take a look at this Psalm 3 that was read. This psalm was written by King David when he had to flee the attacking forces of his rebellious son, Absalom. David was in distress. Enemies had risen up against him, and they were mocking him. In verse 1, we read, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? And the Hebrew word that's used for foes here is the word sar, which emphasizes a narrowness or a constriction. David is feeling hemmed in. And you just get this feeling of panic as, you know, David kind of turns one way and the other, but these enemies are pressing in around him. But what's David's reaction to the enemies and the words of discouragement that he hears? He says, but you, Lord, are a shield around me. Great to have that children's story. My glory, the one who lifts my head high. As David faces all these distresses, his response is a cry of confidence, affirming, despite all these things that I'm facing, I know you. You are the all-powerful God. You made the heavens and the earth. You control the whole universe. You are bigger than my problems and the situations that I'm facing. David knows that God is there and that his only hope is in God. And so in verse 4, he says, I call out to the Lord and he answers me. David had confidence in the Lord. As God had protected him in the past, so he knew that God could be trusted to save in the present, no matter how difficult the circumstances. In this confidence, you know, David's not naive about the dangers that he is encountering. The threat is real, but he just doesn't crumble in fear. He knows his security lies in God. There was a man who was cleaning up his desk one Friday afternoon, and he noticed an envelope, and somebody must have placed it there while he was on the phone. He opened it and read it, and to his shock and dismay, it was a notice of being laid off from his job. His entire department was being eliminated along with his position. After all the years that he had given to this corporation, he found himself filled with resentment, and he just slumped in his chair in despair. And he began to think of all the things that would happen to him. He thought, well, I'll probably have to sell my house. I'm too old to get another job. I'm useless. I'm all washed up. At that moment, the man noticed a spider on his desk, and without thinking, he just brushed the spider off. Well, he was amazed as he watched this tiny little creature automatically just spin a strand to bear its weight and swing gracefully to the floor. And he pondered, if this tiny creature could draw forth some reserve of resources to meet its emergency, why could he not do as much? He sat in thought, and he turned to prayer. And as he prayed, he moved from anxiety to what he lacked to the abundance of the God-given resources that he had been blessed with. He thought, my security is not my job, or in my money, or in my house, but in my connection with the God of grace, who has seen me through all the circumstances in my life. Yeah, they may take me off the payroll, but no one can take away the flow of God's abundance in my life. And this man actually had been kind of longing for an opportunity to tap into his creative ability and his interest in writing. Well, now here was an opportunity before him. He left the office with a new enthusiasm and zest for life. That surprised even himself. He did end up having some writings published for which he was paid. He didn't become some kind of financial giant, but more importantly, he had a newfound faith in the abundance of God and became less anxious about what he lacked in his life. His head was lifted. When faced with the problems of all that is going on in our lives and in the world, it's so easy to jump to anxiousness and worry. But as we see from David's example and from this man, the best way that we can respond is to pray, to cry out to the Lord. As Philippians 4:6 tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. David expresses that whenever he calls on God, in the past, the present, or the future, God has answered and God will answer him. In Psalm 5, another psalm that David wrote, and it was written also during the time of these struggles with his son Absalom, he says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. All of this would have been such a dark time in David's life. David had a lot to deal with, but he doesn't just rush about and forget God. He seeks God's grace and strength to face the situation. The psalm stresses how his first thoughts each day were prayer. David arises and he comes to God first. But how often do we, when we feel just hemmed in by all that is going on around us, do we kind of go about our day looking down rather than looking up? We forget where our hope lies and we are downcast. Back in the good old days when we used to travel, every year for 4 years, I went to Boston for 2 weeks. As that was where I was working on my Doctor of Ministry degree from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. And sometimes I would bring back some gifts for my daughters. And one time I found this really nice glassware. It had a beautiful blue imprint of a sailing ship on it. And below it, it said Church Street. They were only $5, So I ended up getting one for myself too. Well, I didn't want to pack these in my suitcase because I figured, well, they easily break there. So I bought some tissue paper, carefully wrapped them all up, and I put them in a separate bag. Then I gingerly carried them onto my first flight, being careful, you know, where I put it. I changed planes, got on the second flight, through customs. And then when I finally arrived home at 12:45 in the morning, and I was getting things out of my car, this bag was not there. I couldn't believe it. After all this effort and attention, where did I leave it? I was pretty sure that I had it when I left the airport, so I figured that I must have left it while I was getting, you know, into my car in the airport parking lot, or left it on the bus as I was, you know, on my way to get the car. I decided to go right back to the airport and check. It seemed crazy to go back. It was so late. And they weren't that expensive, but they did mean something to me. So drove back to the airport parking lot. I talked to the man in the booth. And while I checked around where I had parked the car, he called the bus driver, and I had left it on the bus. And the driver fortunately had it. I didn't get home till about 2 a.m., but I was glad I found it. It surprised me that something I had so carefully carried all along the way, I ended up forgetting and leaving behind. I got on the bus tired, anxious to get home, and I just forgot it. Do you ever go places and leave something behind? I think the older we get, we kind of do that more and more. But how about talking to God? Coming to Him first. He's important in our lives. That's why we're here today. But how often do we forget to come to God in the midst of all those things that are going on? How often do we just jump into our day and leave God behind? Getting involved maybe in, you know, listening to the news, doing the various tasks at hand, worrying about the future, and we forget about Him. Whether we're acting out of busyness, worry, anxiety, we leave the most important person behind. Sometimes in the midst of difficulty, we can forget God and what He has done for us. That's why it's so important that we have reminders. You know, how often does Scripture tell us to remember? You look back at all the Jewish festivals. Well, they were set up to help people remember what God had done. You know, for example, the Passover. Well, the purpose is remembering how God delivered them from Egypt. There's the Feast of Purim. It's remembering the story of Esther and the deliverance of the Jewish people from Persia. We celebrate Christmas and Easter every year, remembering the birth and then the death and the resurrection of Christ. Each month, you have the practice here of celebrating communion. We are told to do this in remembrance of Jesus, to keep ever before us what Christ has done and the price that He has paid. We are to do this because we are prone to forget. In my devotional times, I've been reading through Isaiah, a little bit of hard slogging at times, but there are some rich passages in there. And this last week, I was reading how King Hezekiah became deathly ill. Isaiah came to him and told him to get his affairs in order as he was going to die. Hezekiah cried out to the Lord. Isaiah 38:2 says, "When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord." His response? Prayer. And God gave him 15 more years. I was struck reading this, how God responded to Hezekiah's prayer, and was reminded how we're told in James 4, you have not because you ask not. God responds to our cries. Earlier in Isaiah in chapter 30, it says in verse 18, "The Lord must wait for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion." And then in verse 19, it says, "He will be gracious if you will ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. But how often, when we hear difficult news, do we just fuss and fume on our own and forget to come to the Lord in prayer? Rather than just trusting as we are, you know, swiped off the desk like that spider, that God will provide the resources to protect us. As we read scripture, like the story in Isaiah, we are reminded of what God has done. And when we get together like we are here and we hear the stories of what God is doing in people's lives, like hearing a story like this man that lost his job, we are reminded of God working in one another's lives. We're reminded of his faithfulness, of his grace, of his mercy. Writing down our prayers and then recording how God has answered, well, that's another helpful tool. So we can look back and we can see God's hand on us, his shield protecting us, lifting our heads. In this psalm, David comes to God. The challenges are difficult, but he knows where to find help. Prayer doesn't have to be, you know, on our knees, eyes closed for hours on end. If we think of our relationship with Christ as just that, a relationship, we can come to him anytime, any place, talking with him, expressing our heart. Ephesians 3:12 says, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And Hebrews 4:6 tells us, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. David comes knowing God's mercy and grace, and he looks for God's response. He doesn't keep his head down looking at the problem, but he looks to God's guidance, and his head is lifted. Verse 5 and 6 then says, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. David can now lie down and sleep without fear. We know that the life of those who believe in Christ is not a life free of difficulty. I wish it was. But the reality is that life does bring struggles and challenges. The question is, how do we respond to all these things that are going on around us? Fear, panic, sleepless nights, eyes looking downward, despondent? Or will we do as David did? Calling on God, remembering who he is and what he has done. We don't have to go around with our heads hung down. As we look to him, he will shield us, he will deliver us, and he will lift our head. A song that I think sums all this up so well is one called Still. The words are, hide me now under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Let's pray. Well, Lord, living here by the ocean, we see the ocean rise and we see those storms come. And Lord, we see that we continue to face storms in our lives. May we find rest for our souls in you, knowing that you are all-powerful, that you hold the whole world in your hands, that you are king over all. And because of your love and your mercy, you invite us to run to you for peace and strength. Lord, forgive us for so often just running into our days without coming to you and without offering our problems, our stresses, all those things, our very lives into your hands. Lord, we need your help and your direction. And may we not leave you behind, but continue to call upon your name. Lift our heads, Lord, and answer us from your holy mountain, so that we may sleep in peace, knowing that you sustain us, not fearing what any enemies surrounding us can do. May your blessing, Lord, be upon us all, the lifter of our head. In your name, Jesus, amen.